Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
You know, we were covering extensively yesterday and a little bit this morning on this story of transgenderism and this special on PBS. And also Chloe Cole, the story of this beautiful young 19-year-old girl. And we want to make sure that you're grabbing these showcasts and spreading it around. I think I'm more passionate that we, you know, you got to ask a question when you see culture in decline. As Christians, you got to ask a question. In fact, while you were gone last week, I was telling Super Dad that we've got to get ethicist in here, because I really would love help thinking through a biblical worldview. And I really mean this from the bottom of my heart, because you got to ask a question. When do Christians rise up, and what does rising up look like?
Okay.
We got to ask that question, because, you know, we just went through some Title IX training here. That was one of the things that was so mind-blowing to me. What's his name again? Griffin?
Yes, Mark Griffin.
Mark Griffin, mm-hmm. Great, great guy. His biblical teachings for our Title IX training here, Boom Crew, was amazing. So it's not Title IX training like you don't do this, you do this, now take this quiz. He preached a biblical worldview on these messages on Title IX training that was flat out amazing. Were you blown away by that, Super Die?
I was too, actually. Very organized, very thorough. And
but
like you said,
biblical,
it wasn't
biblical, heartfelt. Yes. Yeah. I'm sitting here going, what in the world? Listen to this guy. He's making Title IX training sound fun and compelling.
Yeah.
Forget fun. And the one stunning thing that stood out to me in this Title IX training was this principle of bystanders, that if there's one or two let's say a girl's being accosted on a street. So you just gave the story of this crazy kidnapping.
Oh, yes.
What in the cat hair is going on with that?
I know. The Rusi said he had a flat tire, so she stopped, and yeah, but she is safe. She's safe.
So young girl, though.
Young girl.
It's crazy. So this bystander principle is amazing, and I think we have some of this going on in our culture today, and my warning to the Christian community is we need to wake up and ask the question, when do we rise up, and what does rising up look like? I'm not asking you to hit the streets today, folks, but here's the principle. And this is based on, like, empirical data. And this is what Griffin shared. And I was like, gotta be kidding me. Let's say a girl is getting accosted down here on corner of Wells in Chicago. If there's one or two bystanders, there's a way better chance that somebody's going to step in than if there's 40 or 400.
Yeah.
So there is a mob mentality to pacifism. That's scary. In other words, the more people that are watching this, the less likelihood that somebody's going to help.
Which is, I mean, because you would think that the reverse would be true. That
you got numbers.
Right. That there's safety in numbers, that you're more likely to be able to band together. But no, research doesn't show that.
Does that blow your mind a little bit?
It does. I've heard that before. But and it is very surprising. And I've. One thing that I feel as a woman, I feel like I used to have a sense that, you know, if I'm out walking by myself or if I sense some sort of danger, I used to feel a little bit like if I saw, like, let's say a guy across the street, I used to feel a sense of a little bit more safe knowing that someone else was there.
I agree.
I don't feel that anymore. I don't feel that sort of built-in sense that, oh, okay, someone else is there, therefore I'm a little bit more protected. I don't know why that is, but I've definitely, as a woman, feel less safe operating with the assumption that somebody would help me if something happened. Does that make sense?
Totally, Allie.
And I wonder if this is a common feeling among women, that over time we feel kind of like, there used to be a sense that, oh, yeah, there's some guys over there. They'll jump in. I don't feel that anymore.
In the light of day used to make you feel better, right?
Yeah.
Not for my daughter anymore.
I get that.
She's downtown Chicago, and there's certain sides of the street she doesn't feel comfortable walking down.
And so this whole bystander principle is real.
Yeah, it's a real thing. So I really want to get, we want to talk ethics in here someday. We got to find this person. Look, I get it. I think Bonhoeffer is a great example of how to stand up to genocide. When he took his stand against Hitler, he paid for it with his life, by the way. And it was the power of the pen. I was talking to Michael Rydelnik. I said, what happened to the Christians in Germany? Where were they? You want a little history lesson on this thing, everybody, from Michael Rydelnik?
Yeah.
I did not know this. I'm learning all kinds of stuff this week, guys. I did not know that the state Lutheran church, that the German church, the Lutheran church, that those were state churches, meaning German government paid the salaries of those preachers. See, this is the great danger of nationalizing Christianity. You might want a Christian country back, but nationalizing Christianity is not the way to go. It's disciples of Jesus Christ who are just so filled with the Holy Ghost that, man, we're going to go make a difference. So they were willing, one focal German pastor, a big, vocal, highly respected pastor in Germany, was leading a group of dissent that were taking a stand against Hitler. And then guess what he threatened to do? Said, you stand against my regime and we're pulling your salaries. You know what happened in Germany? The dissent ended. How tragic is that?
Well,
I mean, that makes me cry right now.
What do you take from that? That as Christians, we have to be on guard against the tendency to go passive?
You take that bystander study that we've just cited, mm-hmm. that the more people that are just watching, the less likely it is for anyone to do anything. Combined with our inability to see God as the provider, and then any threat of having finances pulled from us could cause us to clam up when we should be speaking up.
Yeah.
That's a dangerous combo.
And you think about when the danger of a prevailing assumption, you know, because even like through you think about Jim Crow laws and civil rights movement and the amount of people who were sort of deceived into thinking that a certain position was Christian. Or even going further back, looking at the prevalence of slavery.
Yeah, I mean, slavery's from the beginning of time, there's been slaves.
Sure.
And by the way, I heard this citation. There is no population group, this isn't diminishing what's gone on with slavery in America, but there's no population group that has avoided being enslaved at some time in our history. None. Swedes included.
Sure. But you think about how there were a lot of Christians who were deceived into thinking, no, this is the way it should be, or maybe even standing by and going, well, everybody else seems okay with it.
I think that's real, Allie. But for the William Wilberforces of our day,
right?
And but for a few that are willing to stand up by the grace of God. I mean, so you look, boom, crew, at end times, how many Christians, I use this in air quotes, because again, I come back to, there's a couple of reasons for this. One is a lot of those German pastors, I fully believe we're not born again. So they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. We know our theology enough to know that. But is it possible for born again people to fall asleep at the wheel and fall into a mob mentality of I'll say nothing, I see nothing? Yeah. Have I done that myself at times? I most certainly think I probably have. I can't think of something, but I probably have. So it's an interesting discussion because there's a time when we have to stand up and say something. But I think we're falling asleep at the wheel here. I think we're finding a lot of things encroaching on us here. And the one point that we were talking about early this morning and yesterday is that it comes a time when we have to say something. And to me, a line in the dirt is when you start messing with innocent children. That's a problem. So you take what we're talking about with Chloe Cole and some of this contagion, social contagion that's happening primarily between girls to really out of their own insecurity and their pain, dabble in transgenderism and then have regret, we're finding out. See, the problem is it all sounds great at the front end, but when you get down the road and you look at the long tail, you go, oh, study says there's a lot of damage here, a lot of collateral damage. So the question is, when do we speak up? I mean, I didn't know until yesterday that it's become, transgenderism has become mainstream by authorities. And we had Miguel Cardona on the Day of Visibility on Monday came out with a statement saying your school, your country, and your community were all better because of you. And I totally understand the need to love people. I think Christians ought to be the greatest lovers of people where they are. But there's a difference between loving someone and affirming and encouraging something that survey says in Europe they're backtracking, backpedaling on. And these are godless nations. France, Sweden, my home country. And I just hurt for our nation, man. I hurt for kids. I see kids even in our churches today that suffer with depression and anxiety at levels that we never saw when I was a kid. And I know I'm sounding like an old guy now, but we had depression and anxiety in kids in school, but not at the levels that they do now. And by the way, I'm not just speculating. There's empirical data for that as well. It's just heartbreaking to me. Just stinking heartbreaking. And I just don't want us, Boom Crew, to be people that put our proverbial heads in the sand. And worse, not heads in the sand, heads up seeing it, but the bystander mentality, where nobody steps in and says, hold it. These are kids. Quit mutilating bodies. I had all kinds of adjectives, and the Holy Spirit stopped me right there. Just gets a little bit wiggy, man. Just gets a little bit wiggy. Sitting here sipping coffee and talking with Allie like we're just having a chat, and we are.
We are.
Break your heart at all?
Oh, absolutely. My kids are still in that age where they're, you know, learning about life and taking in all kinds of information, and every parent feels it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you hear for generations, wouldn't want to be raising kids in this generation. Been hearing it for years, right? My grandpa said it. Boy, these crazy kids. But the stakes have gotten so much higher.
Do you want to hear one thing that gives me great hope?
Yeah, what is that?
What I'm finding is that because the fallout of all that's going on is so great, I think the difference between a God-centered worldview that holds up hope and the alternative,
striking difference,
is striking. And I think even a child can see it.
Yeah, I think so. And I've got some evidence for you because you want to talk about some good notes. My bride was talking to her sister yesterday. In the University of Washington in Seattle, mm-hmm. is a enclave of liberalism. Well, guess what's happening on the campus? They're having campus-wide worship nights, and they're having thousands of kids show up at these things.
And, you know, think about Asbury just a year ago and revival on college campuses. I think that there's a remnant. There's a remnant, and there's a growing number of young people who I think are pushing back and saying, no, there's a better way.
Yeah. Yep. Yuppers. God, would you help us?
Yeah.
help us as your kids to not be bystanders and also to know when to step in, speak up, and to love well and to hold out the hope of Jesus Christ in a dark, broken world. And we're grateful for your love for us, God, and that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's great. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, where are we at here? Oh, I know where we're at. In a minute and a half, we're going to be talking about a little conferencio going on here.
A what?
I made up a word. A little conference. Trying to put a little mustard on something. It didn't quite work. Squirted off the edge of the hot dog bun there. Sorry about that, Ellie.
Inventing words. I mean, you have lots of unusual words that are real words. So
yeah,
just but assume that's not that a real one, one of them.
That's not one of them.
So thanks.
That's not one.
Okay, that's fair.
Coming up, minute and a half. Let's talk with one of our favorite girls on the whole planet.
Yeah, you want some ministry training for women to rise up in this culture like we've been talking about?
Especially if you're a writer. If you have a calling of writing, you might really be interested in this. Hang on.
Waking you up with adrenaline and Jesus. We're Carl and Crew Mornings.
One of our favorites with this right now, Asherita Choo-Choo. She has written some amazing works. Full is one of the greatest works that I've... people grab this up left and right still to this day. And it's all about being satisfied and gratified by the presence and power of God. But boy, Asherita has learned a lot in valleys and mountaintops. And she's here with us today.
She's a national speaker, best-selling author, and she is going to be one of the key workshop leaders at the upcoming women's conference here at Moody called Equipping Women in Leadership Ministry. Asherita, you're going to be heading to Chicago soon. We'll be happy to have you as part of this conference. Just give us an overview of who this conference is for.
Yeah, I'm so excited for it coming up. It is for really any woman in ministry leadership in your local church or teaching Bible studies or wanting to write Bible studies, really those who have a heart to love on and invest in people in your local community. If you want to be equipped and trained and encouraged, man, this is the conference for you.
Bible studies can be powerful. You've written at least one. How many Bible studies have you written, by the way?
I think three. I get jumbled up after a while.
You got to look at your own webpage to find out how many you've written.
Honestly.
What was the toughest lesson you learned? I know your breakout session that you're going to have with a lot of leaders, and there's going to be a ton there. I hope they got a big room for you. There's a lot of lessons learned when you're writing as is, let alone Bible studies. What was the toughest lesson that you had to learn?
I think one of them that I'm still honestly learning is to study deeply, but edit ruthlessly. And that is, as we, if we want to teach God's word, then we have to know God's word. And as you study scripture to prepare to write a Bible study, you're going to get excited about 500 different things in the text. As God's spirit brings his word to life, there are just so many treasures to mine there. But we need to be aware of our listeners, of those who are studying along with us, those who might be reading the Bible study. Those things will be way overwhelming for them.
Right.
And so even as we study deeply and like just pull all this richness out of the text, we need to be asking God's spirit, Lord, would you show me what is the one thing that I can share or guide readers toward uncovering in this passage today? Because otherwise, if they get overwhelmed, then it gets discouraging. And they're less likely to keep coming back. So we want to guide them along the way to discover the beauty of Jesus in the text. But a lot will just be God's gift to us that we get to treasure up in our hearts that we won't necessarily pass on in the study, because one of our primary goals, one, is to focus on Jesus and make him known, but two is to serve the reader. And one of the ways we serve them is by just picking one big idea for each day's text.
Asherita Chuchu, our guest right now. She's going to be a key workshop leader at this upcoming CALLED conference. She's going to be leading a workshop called How to Write and Publish Your Bible Study, Five Things I Wish I Knew Before I Got Started. So this CALLED Women's Conference addresses some of the common challenges and opportunities for women in leadership. From your own experience, what are the main areas of support that women uniquely need so that we can serve effectively in our churches?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot, but one of them that comes to mind is the need for, this is going to sound so cliche, but community yes. over competition. I think sometimes it's, you know, well, I want that teaching position, or I want to be in that leadership role, or, you know, why did I get overlooked instead of her? And this applies whether, you know, like me, I'm leading Bible studies online in my local church, or whether you're volunteering in some capacity to host an event in your church, whatever that looks like, understanding that God's Spirit has gifted each person in the body of Christ uniquely means that we get to celebrate our differences, and we celebrate when someone else steps into a role to serve. God has not called me to do all things for all people. And there's a relief in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think coming to a conference like this, being encouraged by seeing the work that God's Spirit is doing in churches all around the country, and also getting ideas for how to encourage other women to step in, or for us, sometimes it's that 80-20 principle where, you know, 20% of people do 80% of the work. Well, maybe God is calling us to learn how to step back and delegate and invite yes. other people to step into that place so that we can all link arms together and serve the body of Christ together. I mean, what a beautiful way to show the unity and the beauty of the body of Christ.
Love it. Asherita, again, going to be at this conference having a bit of a breakout session that's going to have a lot of folks in it. But we want you to at least know all the details of this event. We've got a link for you right now.
Yeah, it's a one-day women's conference here at Moody Bible Institute, both in person here on the Chicago campus and online. Saturday, April 13th, if you want the rest of the details and registration link, just text CALLED, C-A-L-L-E-D, CALLED, to 312-274-9624. Text the word CALLED to 312-274-9624.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
Well, Jesus showed up, and we're glad for it, because if someone never shows up, it's possible that they don't exist. All week long, we're going to be talking about the four appearances that Jesus wants to make in your life. And yesterday, we were really pounding on tears. And what a precious thing to hear of all the things that has you crying, Boom Crew, and we were able to pray for you. And I think we're probably going to stick with this theme today of praying for fears that we're up against. But God wants to meet you in your fears. Coming up a couple of minutes, we're going to break it down right from the Gospel of John.
Yeah. I love this, because the promise that Jesus wants to meet you, we take the general and then make it more specific.
Yeah. How cool that he appeared to people in their tears, in their fears, in their doubts, in their needs. So practical.
Going from believers of Jesus to followers of Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Went to Bujumbura, Burundi. And I say those names, one's a city, one's a country, and Boom Crew, don't feel bad if you've never heard of either. Because I hadn't. I'd heard of Burundi, but it never really clicked with me. But it is the poorest country in the world. Not even by a little bit, by a lot. The GDP is horrendous. It was about 15 years ago that the Hutus and the Tutsis were at war, 300,000 massacred in this country during that time. 300,000 displaced people. Went to the Congo, went to Tanzania, neighboring countries to just try to stay alive. These people were demonized. They were marauding villages and just, I can't even get into the details because it's just too little ear warning stuff of what they were doing. It's akin to what we saw with the Hamas. It's just sick. So fast forward a lot of years later, but not too many years later, frankly. Goodness sakes. I mean, that was going on when I was, some of that stuff was going on when I started radio here. Enough calm now where they're trying to rebuild the country, but still poverty galore everywhere. And I mean, it's hand to mouth. You eat what you go find that day. That's the way it works. We're going across these cobblestone streets. It's four of us in an SUV. Light rain coming down. Hundreds of people darting in the shadows of the night. Bulb lighting up a little kiosk over here. Guys selling some fresh meats that are just laid out on a slab of wood over here. People are grabbing their stuff and heading home. We turned right, pulled up in front of a little storefront, stepped out with umbrellas, stepped inside, and there we met some of the coolest people you can imagine, radically transformed by the power of God. Got some food, sat down. They had us situated where we were at one side of this room, and then there's this group of Burundians on the other side of the room. And I'm like, forget that. I said, come on, let's go. We'll share the same table. So we got our chairs, and we moved over with them, and we just wanted to sit and look at them eye to eye and hear their stories. Came time for this one young man. His name's Vianney. Just a strong guy, arms that reveal he's worked hard already his whole life. And he began to share his story. And I mean, there was a sense of calm and resoluteness in his eyes. It was just breathtaking. Tough story. Dad left him early on. Hooked on booze. Couldn't provide for the family. Just evaporated. So Vianney's 7, his little brother's 5, and his mom does the same thing. Walks out. Leaves him. So Vianney and his little brother are 7 and 5 years old, and they're on the streets of Bujumbura trying to make a go of it. They're doing anything they can, including stealing. And by the way, I don't blame him one bit. You got to eat, for crying out loud. No schooling, no nothing, just survival. A few years go by, and he gets word from a friend that there's a cattle farmer in Tanzania that's looking for some help. Come on, man, I can put you out there, and you can make some better money than you can on the streets of Bujumbura. So he took it up, told his little brother how to fend for himself, said he'd be back as quick as he could. Goes to this cattle farm, and the first day he arrives, oh, great, cattle are dropping dead left and right on this cattle ranch. The owner of the cattle ranch calls in a witch doctor, says, find out what's going on. The witch doctor comes up with all of his potions and concoctions, comes back to the cattle owner, the cattle ranch owner, and says, you got a curse on you, and all these cattle are going to die, and then soon people in your family are going to die. He says to the witch doctor, well, what are we going to do? He says, we got to find the guy that brought the curse. I mean, this is so demonic.
Wow.
Says, we got to find the guy that brought the curse. And so he does his little incantations, and, you know, the demons are going to tell this guy whatever he wants to hear, and they've pinned it on one guy. Guess who it was pinned on? You got it, Vianney. So they don't send him home. Cattle ranch owner said, kill him. For 2 days, they strung him out, arms spread between two trees, chained for 48 hours, arms spread wide. No food, no water, hot African sun beaten down. Vianney had heard a name of a guy back in Bujumbura who, for some reason, had this magical power to save people that were in dire need. So he called out his name. Jesus, help me. As God would have it, this unsaved friend that put him onto this cattle ranch had a stirring in his heart about 48 hours before this whole thing went down, right when he was getting chained up. Go find Vianney. He makes a sojourn up to Tanzania. He shows up minutes after the witch doctor, after 48 hours of cruelty to Vianney, the witch doctor's going to get gasoline to burn him to death. He shows up, Vianney's stretched out between these two trees. There's other people kind of scurrying around, watching this whole thing go down. Total bystander thing here. Mm-hmm. He cuts him loose. Vianney drops to the ground, can't even walk. Strong kid, can't even walk. Throws him over his shoulder and walks back to Bujumbura. I was sitting there that night looking at one of the most radically transformed young men I've ever seen in my life. Filled with the grace and power of God. His pastor, who ultimately led him to Jesus when he came back to the streets of Bujumbura, was sitting beside him, tears flowing down his face. And I want you to know there's scary things that happen in life, but nothing scarier than the prospect of being burned to death, I would imagine. Vianney called for the name of Jesus, and Jesus showed up. Jesus can show up in any fears that you have today. 2,000 years ago, he came out of that grave, and he lives today. And he wants to meet you in your fears, and we're going to prove it to you. Hang on.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
So you mean, Carl, if I call out the name of Jesus, he'll show up? You better believe I mean it. From the bottom of my heart, absolutely. There are four appearances that Jesus wants to make in your life. Yesterday, we were talking about tears. Today, we're talking about fears. And these are cited in the Gospel of John, chapter 20 and 21. And they're epic. I get chills right now thinking about this. I mean, Mary of Magdala, a rich woman who, by the way, had seven demons cast out of her. And she was probably the patron of that whole movement of those disciples. She underwrote that thing. Isn't it great? Ladies, you got the front row to watch what Jesus is doing through Mary of Magdala.
Love it.
But then you just look down here in chapter 20, verse 19 of John. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, of course they were, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Boom. You know, I did a deep dive on this passage because I preached these 4 points in church on Sunday. But here's what you got to know. When it says Jews here, it's a word that doesn't just mean a cultural group of people, as in just Jewish people, but it's a word that indicates the Jews, those who conspired against Jesus, even Roman authorities, and possibly even Gentiles. So we got to be careful here that we aren't lumping too sliver sliced with this thing. And sometimes the English translation can't capture all that stuff. But I'm with them. I'm locking the door as well. Aren't you, Allie?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jesus has just been crucified.
Yeah.
They are associated with Jesus. They are his followers. They don't know what's going on. I mean, he taught them for years, but there were so many times where he said, "You won't understand what I'm telling you now.
Until it goes down.
But you will."
Yeah.
And they were kind of in that between. They were in that place of not understanding what all of this meant. So there was a lot of fear. What's going to happen?
What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to us? And of course they got together. It's like there's power in numbers. We got 11 of us now. They must have been wondering things too. Like, I wonder if there's another Judas here. I would have been wondering that. Wonder if there's another. They walked for 3 years with Judas, and then he sold out for a few pieces of silver. So I'd have been wondering that. Do we have another mole among us here? Are we going to get found out? Now, here's the beauty of this. The reason this story is here, as we find in verse 30, he did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This story is for you. It's for you in your fear of bankruptcy, your fear of a wayward kid, in your fear of, what are they? Come on, let's go. What are the fears?
fear of health challenges, fear of a diagnosis, fear of rejection, fear of loss, fear of the world that we're living in.
Bingo. Maybe one of the biggest ones right there, right now, Allie. Fear of the world that we're living in. And you know what? The promise is from John 20, verse 19. Jesus wants to show up in your fears today. What an awesome God we have. So give us a sampling of the fears that you have today. Sometimes it's just good to call it out by name and text it in here. We won't call out your number. We don't have your names. What are you fearing today? Come on. You say I'm fearless. Every man I've ever met who says I'm fearless is lying.
I think that's true.
Lying through his teeth.
What are you afraid of today? Text us 312-274-9624. We'll keep you anonymous. Not going to read out numbers. Just want to get a sense of where we're at. 312-274-9624.
And the value of just speaking that out, typing it out, incredible. 312-274-9624.
Discipleship to start your day. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
What makes you afraid? If you had to name the one thing that you're most fearful of, we're talking about how Jesus shows up in our fears. What is that fear for you? 312-274-9624.
Yeah, got a couple of responses here that I'm customizing. Actually, Lisa's customizing response to me. She's in here working away. We've got a couple of people that have indicated, man, I fear that I might not go to heaven when I die, or that I might lose my salvation. First off, you cannot lose what only God gave you. I had a great discussion with someone right here in this studio after we got off air one day last week, and we were talking about eternal security, and can we know that we're born again? And I just want to linger here for a moment, because I'm going to give a resource to some of you that are fearful of that, and you maybe can't even admit it on air because it freaks you out to even think about it. The wonder of grace is so amazing. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. And the closer you get to grace, the more you understand that this notion that salvation is something that we choose, therefore we can lose, is utter nonsense. Grace is God's power to do in us what we can't do in ourselves. And the best theologians I know actually struggle with what part of salvation do we have. John Piper, I think he said at one point, he says, maybe the only part we play is falling flat on the ground. And even God precipitates that motion, right?
Yeah.
We got nothing in. We got no dog in this hunt. And my heart goes out to you, those of you that feel that way. And so I've got a custom link going out to those of you that felt that. And some of you going, well, that's my fear. Well, we've got a link for you as well.
Yeah, if you want this article, 9 Ways to Know That You Stand With God, God Stands With You, we'll send it to you. Just text STAND to 312-274-9624, STAND, STAND to 312-274-9624.
But a lot of fears have come in here. Just cite some of these, Allie, and then we're going to pray.
Fear of dying before my autistic son can live independently, fear of death, fear of the devil, fear of for my children and my great-grandchildren, fear of false religion, fear of the economy collapsing, fear of job loss, fear of not having enough money to retire, a fear of some health issues, fear of, oh man, so many coming in.
Yeah.
Afraid of being alone, afraid of not being enough. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to know, Boom Crew, from the bottom of my heart, that Jesus wants to show up in your fears just like he did for the disciples, and he's speaking some words over you today. Peace be with you. Wow. Peace be with you. And so, Father, we come before you asking you, oh, God, meet our friends right now in their fears. Put your arms around them. Give them a deep sense that they are loved. Give them a vision of your transcendence, your power, your providence, your sovereignty, that you are seeing everything that they see in their life, and yet you are not worried one bit about their future. Lord, thank you that you meet us behind locked doors of our souls. Thank you that you meet us in our trembling. Thank you that you meet us in that secret place where we're gripped by fear. And you say, peace be with you. Man, I thank you for that, God. So minister your healing by the presence and the reality of your Son that indwells followers of Jesus right now. Bring ministering angels, Lord, over these precious people of all ages and stages of life, and be their peace today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The tomb is empty. Jesus showed up. Aren't we pumped about that?
Yes.
Start your day moving closer to Jesus. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Got a question for you today, because the risen Jesus is alive and he's visiting people in their tears. And today we're tackling in your fears. And it's an awesome thing when you can kind of move out of that no man's land. You're feeling certain things and pin it down and go, okay, this is what I'm feeling. I'm afraid of this. And I want to encourage you that it is healthier to identify your fears. Call them for what they are, because perfect love can't cast out unidentifiable things in your own heart. Can't do it. There's something powerful about embracing it. Remember that feeling wheel I was telling you about that I was stuck in front of? Oh, the worst.
What are you feeling?
Point to the place on the wheel. Oh, my word.
You feeling happy? Are you feeling discouraged?
Are you sad?
Are you sad?
And I was sitting around with a group of men, all men's men, mind you, and I got invited to this group. We got this feeling wheel and these crazy rocks in our hand. We're supposed to set that rock on that feeling that we have at that moment. And I thought, this is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. Until I set my rock down on that emotion that I was feeling.
Carl.
And I began to weep.
Were you feeling sad?
No, I forget what the emotion was. It wasn't sad.
Well, because they break them down. They're much more specific than like happy, sad, angry.
Oh, no. There were I think there were 60 options, plenty to choose from. Just plop it down there. And as I put my rock down, I started to cry. And I'm like,
overwhelming.
And the guy that invited me, and he knew I was a total skeptic, he was sitting next to me. He just put his arm around my shoulder. It's a healthy thing to be able to go, God, this has got me freaked out. I'm afraid of this. What are they? 312-274-9624. Come on, bring them in right now. Allie, shout them out. What are some of these?
Lots of fears. Fears of dealing with aging parents and health concerns there. Fear around job and retirement. A lot of fears around assurance of salvation. We've seen that one come in quite a bit this morning. Okay. You want to make a comment there?
Yeah, I do. I don't want you feeling that. I can't go on a, if I could go on a rant, I'd talk about the more you get in touch with the grace of God, which is God's unmerited favor and his power to do in us what we can't do in himself, the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I realize my salvation had nothing to do with me. So I not only could not claim it as my own, I can't have it taken away as if it were my own. But it's a very real fear, and I want to give you a resource today. Maybe you're new listening here or been here a long while. If you have a fear of, am I truly born again? This will help you in a big way. It may help you determine that you need to fall to your knees and surrender your life to Christ, but it may give you great assurance of salvation as well. Here's the resource.
Just text the word STAND to 312-274-9624. STAND to 312-274-9624. Some other things that have come in, I've seen a couple times fear of for people who are caregivers of not being able to provide what's needed for either the parent or the child that they're caring for. Fears around job loss, fears around adult children who are making bad choices, fear of job loss, fear of health diagnosis, fear of for the future of this country, fear of war, fear of being alone.
Yeah. We get someone who's afraid here because they sinned against their family. I'm no longer their rock. It's all that I want to be again. All these things are so, your fear is absolutely valid. Now, some of those feelings are incorrect, but feelings are valid. And fear can grip you, just reach up and grab you by the throat and not let go until you hear the words, peace be with you, because Jesus showed up to the disciples locked into a room for fear of their lives. And he said, I've got you, and he's saying it today. Allie, would you pray for these folks?
Yeah. Lord, thank you that you meet us in our fears, that there's nothing that we could possibly encounter that you don't already see, that you're not already in control of, because we know that you're sovereign. We know that bad things happen because we live in a fallen world, a sin-sick world. But Lord, we never have to worry that you won't be there for us, that you won't be right there, ready, meeting us at our lowest point. God, I pray that you would deliver us from our fears. You've given us many reassurances that you are with us.
Amen.
That we don't have to be afraid, that we can fear not because you're with us, that we can cast our cares and our anxieties on you. God, there's so many verses that talk about fear, so you are well aware, you are acquainted with our weaknesses, but you've given us hope. You've given us yourself. So today, help us to do what your word says, to cast our cares upon you, to Lord, with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known, and let the peace that surpasses all understanding guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Your shot of hope to make it through the day. It's Carl and Crew Mornings.
A lot of them coming in here. And by the way, even these little thoughts of going to the dentist and dying while our son is still in prison. Whoa. The welfare of our special needs son after my husband and I have died. These are real fears, Allie. Get some more there?
Yeah. I fear I won't be known by God or led into heaven. It's been a common one this morning. I'm going to come back to that one, though, because I have a resource for you. Fear of making a big mistake at work. Fear of what addiction is doing and will do to my spouse. Fear of my family being saved. Fear of illness. Fear of losing my nephew. Fear of being, Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Afraid that my adult kids may not be saved. Okay, so this has come up quite a few times. You want to talk about the resource we've been giving out?
Yeah, let me do this. Let me pray, and then we're going to talk practically about this resource, okay?
Okay.
Father, over all these fears right now, we just bring them before you, and we thank you that Jesus himself said to the disciples, and these are written that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he can minister to our soul. Peace be with you. Lord, I pray peace be with you over every fear that's represented here in the Boom Crew this morning. And what we're seeing here on our screen are just the tip of the iceberg of so many fears right now. And Lord, I pray that you would come and visit every person in their fears in power, comfort, direct, guide. And when I pray that, Lord, you know my heart. I'm praying that you would comfort and then give direction through this thing. And draw men and women all across Chicagoland and around the globe right now into your word and into your presence, knowing that presence is what brings peace. And God, I thank you that you're on the move today. 2,000 years later, you're still bringing peace to your kids in the midst of our fears. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We want to help you. Those of you, a lot of you are wondering, will I go to heaven when I die? Do I know that I'm born again? Have I lost my salvation? All these things are in play and they're real, but we've got a resource that's going to clear that up.
Yeah. 9 ways to know you stand with God. He stands with you. It walks you through biblically. How do I know that I'm saved? And you will get to the end of this article and you will have a sense of assurance that, okay, I'm in Christ, or you will reach a Y in the road where you go, these things are not true of me. So you fall down on your knees before a holy God and say, today is the day of salvation for me, even if I've been in church for a lot of years. If you want to check out this resource, just text the word STAND to 312-274-9624. Text STAND to 312-274-9624.
Whether it's number 1 or 100, take that step with Jesus today. You're listening to Carl and Crew Mornings.
Need someone to take off your house slippers, go outside in bare feet, and stand on the terra firma and tell me if you feel any rumblings underneath there.
What?
There must be. There's an invasion coming our way, folks. First time in 221 years that it's happened. Two different kind of movements of this invasion are coming together, and they don't never coincide, and they don't happen very often. So first time in 221 years that we're expecting trillions, count them, trillions of cicadas to come up out of the ground, do their mating ritual. Do cicadas lose their wings? So check that one out for me, because when we lived in South Africa, once a year these critters would come up out of the ground. And I mean, guys, I kid you not, the wings of these things would be an inch or two deep across the ground, like at service stations, because they attracted the light. So at service stations, you went there the morning after, these wings are deep, okay, like snow level deep of wings. And another question I have, I think that these things are a natural source of protein, so you can gather up these things. Well, in South Africa, it's a delicacy. They would fry these bad boys up. They would catch them and fry them up in little vats and have them as a beautiful, delicious entree.
I have to admit, the sound of cicadas
doesn't bother you. Well, that's what was blowing my mind.
It's kind of nostalgic. Like, I remember being a kid and you'd be playing outside, it would start to get like around dusk and there would be this hum and it would start to grow, and you're playing with your friends, you're kicking around the ball, and you'd hear this sound of the cicadas. And it makes me think of my childhood. And so it sounds odd, but that sound, that kind of roar of the cicadas is kind of music to my ears. Well, that sounds like
that's music to your ears.
That's E.T. phone home there.
No, it's cicada brood sights and sounds.
Oh.
Okay, that sounds, the first sounds like the alert system when there's a tornado coming.
Oh, no. No.
So I am pumped.
I'm okay with this.
Because Allie's okay with cicadas.
I am, you know, bugs don't really bother me. Obviously, I don't want them in my house, but I see a rat run across the street I want to go like crawl somewhere to where they can't get me. But bugs,
I was walking in last week. I saw two of the hugest rats.
Yeah, I can't. My only hope
was they weren't breeders, because these suckers were enormous.
I can't take seeing any kind of rodents. So the sight of raccoons, they're probably not in the rodent family, but you know, anything that crawls on the ground like that, raccoons, possum, rats, mice, squirrels. Skunks, squirrels, all of them bother
snakes.
Me. Well, snakes aren't really rodents.
No, but they crawl on the ground.
But I don't see snakes very often. I mean, once in a blue. But rats in Chicago, you are kind of a frequent occurrence. You see them a lot. Let's bring on the cicadas. Can we drive out the rats and replace them with cicadas? I'm all for it.
Lally, I want to encourage you about those rats. Matthew West says God's got you on his mind this morning.
Thank you.
Coming to you live from the Morningstar Mission Sponsored Studios, this is Carl and Crew Mornings on 90.1 FM Moody Radio.
You know, there's some things that are really delicacies in this world, but we don't know them to be because they don't come blister packed, you know, a hermetically sealed package and all that kind of stuff. some things are phenomenal to eat, and we just don't know it because it's not on the shelves at Costco.
Where are you going?
I'm getting nervous. I know.
Well, I've got a thought. I need some help from the boom crew here. We've got a big cicada invasion coming. Now, God made cicadas. Yeah, he made them. And I'm just wondering, I don't know, and I don't want to recommend anything that could get someone sick. But does anyone out there know? And there's cicada sounds right there. And we'll shut those down here in just a moment, but let's get the full effect here. They're seeing trillions.
Oh,
yeah.
Yuck.
We got it.
Okay.
So there's trillions of these bad boys coming up out of the ground here soon. And when they show up, I guess it's going to be just swarms of these things. Number one, I need a cicada expert. If there's a cicada expert, please call right now, 312-274-9624. You know about cicadas. You know what's happening. I need you to call right now as quick as you can. 312-274-9624. It's not something you read on Wikipedia about these bad boys. You know about cicadas. And two things I need to know about. Number one, are these the variety that lose their wings when they mate up and go back into the ground? And number two, are they edible? As a, well, I want
that's important to know. I'm reading up on this and...
Hold it. You're finding out they are.
I am finding out some very interesting things.
You don't want to share it.
They are. And I'm kind of shocked. I'm processing what I'm reading by the Food Network.
Well, hold on. Time out. Though I don't
the
need...
The Food Network?
If you can call in... that and we've still got an open line for you, 312-274-9624. But I'm willing to... Okay, we got someone. Just bring him in. David.
Sure? Okay.
David from Crystal Lake. Let's get him on the horn here. Here we go. We're going to get him on the horn here. David in Crystal Lake. You a cicada expert?
No, I'm not a cicada expert, but in Boy Scouts, we used to eat them quite a bit just for fun.
What?
Yeah, we were kids. You know, you do stupid stuff. And a buddy of mine used to fry them in college because they were cheap food. But there's actually a thing right now. They're looking into grinding up crickets using as protein powder for developing countries because they have no good nutrition other than that.
Yeah, that's,
if you mix it up with food,
that's a good idea.
Grind them up, it tastes the same way. Grind them up and actually, you know, mix in a smoothie or something. That's a lot of good protein.
Well, I'm not, not opposed to that, but that's interesting there.
Yeah, some deep thoughts.
Okay.
So, okay.
So, David from Crystal Lake.
Yeah, thank you, David, for that. Appreciate that.
Here's what I'm finding, and I'm by no means an expert. I'm reading an article on foodnetwork.com, but they are edible. But here's the big thing. They have to be prepared as if they are like raw meat. Like you have to handle them like you would raw chicken.
Okay, so you don't just nibble on them.
You definitely cannot eat them raw, but they have a nutty flavor and a shrimp-like quality. They can be cooked like you would cook seafood.
There you go. Linda is probably going to give us that warning about preparation. Ooh. She's a nurse. Linda, what do you say?
Actually, I'm sorry. My name is Brenda.
Oh, Brenda. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I like Linda better. But anyway,
Brenda.
I'm in healthcare, and I do follow nutrition and health-related things pretty carefully. And last week on a competitor radio station, they had a legit registered, I think like a PhD level nutritionist who was saying that cicadas are absolutely edible. In fact, she said they exactly what you said, Carl, that they are high in protein. And she actually had a website that gave recipes and things. So I just wanted to mention that.
That's great. Linda, thank you. That's probably some of the best nursing advice you've given in the whole week. And we're only on Tuesday. Linda, way to go. Linda, stay on the horn. You're getting a Carl and Crew prize pack for that little tidbit
there. Thank you.
Yeah. God bless you, sister.
This is wild.
So there we have it.
And you should not eat them if you're allergic to seafood because they share a family relation to shrimp and lobster.
No kidding.
Yeah. So if you have a seafood allergy, cicadas are off limits for you.
No fear here.
That is very strange. I did not know this at all. I will not be eating anything with cicadas in it, will you? Would you eat cicadas if they were prepared?
They were prepared rightly. Sure, I'd give it a go.
Would you, Super Die? Would you give it a go?
No. Capital N, capital O. No.
I don't think I could do it.
I'm thinking about coming up with a cicada challenge here, but I don't want to make anyone sick.
Definitely not.
But if you say no, it's like, that's like red meat. It's a challenge.
You got to wait for Young Thunder to come back for that kind of stuff.
Oh, I'm outnumbered.
You're way outnumbered. Young Thunder may go with you on this.
I don't know.
He would.
I'm not eating sauteed cicada for dinner.
Sauteed cicada.
Yes, you could saute them.
That sounds good, actually. Ugh. I mean, it's protein. They taste shrimp-like. What else did you find out in there?
Yeah, they're referred to as land shrimp.
I don't think you can
saute them, deep fry them. Recipes, you can find recipes including soup, cupcakes. Ooh.
No.
But don't eat them raw.
Yeah, don't eat them raw. That's our advice to you today. We're here to help.
Helping you take your next step in your walk with, yeah.
Get more from your morning show. Check us out on social media. Just search Carl and Crew Mornings on Facebook and Instagram.
Nothing gets past you, Boom Crew. Somebody texted in, speaking of cicadas and protein and having a cicada challenge, helping us take our next step with ... John the Baptist.
There you go.
Most famous locust eater.
Locust and, now, let's be fair, and wild honey.
It was balanced diet.
Oh, Allie, balanced diet. Cicada challenge is on, guys.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, we got to do it. If you cook up some cicadas, but you got to cook them up, and I am highly recommending don't eat them raw, please, because they're even the Food Channel says you got to cook them up.
It would be like eating raw chicken. Like, yeah, it's the amount of microorganisms and dangerous bacteria would be very similar.
Yeah.
So it's not just a matter of preference. It's a safety thing.
Yeah. But we will be taking your videos and text messages and everything for the cicada challenge. We're going to do
I'm
it.
I'm not watching.
We're going to do it. Yeah, I want to see this.
Okay.
I mean, it's legit. You read the article. It's on Food Network, right?
It is on foodnetwork.com, but can we talk about
this? You just got to cook them up. You got to cook them up. Probably don't want to overcook them like a rock hard shrimp. Land shrimp is what they're referred to, which is really a funny title. It's funny that they have a taste and properties of shrimp.
They share a family relation to shrimp and lobsters. I never would have guessed that.
I never would have guessed that either. You learn stuff all the time.
Really valuable stuff.
Hey, this is Carl with Carl and Crew, and I'm so grateful that you listen to this showcast. Thank you mostly for being part of the Boom Crew. As we help you take your next step with Jesus, you're a huge encouragement to us. We'll be here again live every weekday morning from 5 to 9 a.m. Godspeed.